This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Pleasure of meeting Sebastian Maniscalco in person.
He came in.
I want to say, what was that, like a year and a half ago inside the First Midwest Bank studio?
Yes. Well, he was in town to do the Chicago Theater, right?
Right. You saw him at the Chicago Theater.
I did.
I saw him at the United Center. And we've been, in the last few years, if you've not been turned on to Sebastian Maniscalco like we have, first of all, you're living under a rock because everyone has. He's one of the best comedians out there. He's a Chicago guy. And you see him on all the Netflix. All of his stuff is available there. And, of course, he was just in The Irishman. I think when he was in studio, he told us about the filming that was going to be coming up. It was Oscar nominated. And he is currently off the road with the You Bother Me tour. And that's where I saw Jesse Rogers and I went to go see him at the United Center. And it was awesome. And Pat opened up for him.
I was enjoying watching some of the highlights of his golf game on Twitter back in early February.
Content. He's always producing content, and we're proud to have Sebastian Maniscalco back on the Waddle and Sylvie show. Sebastian, how are you and the family?
Listen, guys, I am good, but I'm climbing up the walls over here. I think it hit me this week. I got to get back to work. Don't get me wrong. The family's great. Hanging out with the kids, you know, that lasted like 2 weeks, and now, it's time to go back to work. I mean, I haven't been off this long since I was 15 years old.
What are you doing to pass the time?
I've made every recipe I possibly could. At the end of this thing, I think I could open up a restaurant with the amount of cooking that I've been doing over here. I've been baking with my daughter. I could open a cookie company next week. I've cleaned every room in the house. I've organized my closet not once but twice. And I pressure washed the driveway. That's how boring it's getting over here.
Is it harder or easier to come up with new material when we're all quarantined?
Well, this is my thing. My material is based on going out into the world and observing human behavior, right?
Right.
When you put me inside and you basically confine me to four walls, it's really kind of hard to come up with observational humor. What my wife's family has done since this quarantine started is every day at noon, there is a big Zoom session with my wife's family. She's got about 24 people in the family. So the Zoom screen looks like the Brady Bunch. There's about 9 or 10 different squares where people are falling out of. And they're playing like board games on Zoom. I'm like, I'm good. I'm tapping out of this. I did one of those. And I'm like, forget it. I ain't participating in this anymore. Come on. I don't even play board games when there's no pandemic. I'm going to do it now.
I'm with you on that. Everyone's right. Waddle's the opposite. Waddle is doing like all these crazy things at home.
Oh, I'm kicking my kids' ass in cards and apples to apples. Like, I'm the king of board games in my house, and I feel quite good about myself at this point.
Well, how old are your kids?
27, 25, 22, and 16.
All right, you got full-blown adults over there that
adults.
You can have a glass of wine. I got a 10-month-old and a 3-year-old. I'm playing... I went from a comedian to doing an arts and crafts teacher. I'm teaching preschool, for Christ's sake.
I've complained about the e-learning, too. I have kids like yours, Sebastian, where mine are a little older. I have a 5- and a 4-year-old. And while we're all going to look back on this, and I'm sure appreciate it, there are moments during the day when they're e-learning and it's pure hell.
Oh, it's terrible. It's like, listen, just scrap the whole school year. You know, like, they're sending home assignments. And I told my wife, because my wife is like, oh, we got to keep her, you know, active and learning stuff. I go, babe, she ain't going to go for a job when she's 25 and they're going to go, oh, what were you doing in 2020 during the pandemic? You know, like, just scrap the year, have these kids start back up in the fall and be done with it. I mean, what... They're going nuts with all this homework. It's ridiculous.
When you put the kids down and you got some free time, Are you binge watching Joe Exotic and the Tiger King or something else?
Listen, I saw this Joe Exotic, Tiger King. Everybody was like raving about it. It sucked. I didn't think it was that good. I mean, guy had a tiger, had a zoo, and he went to jail for killing tigers and threatening a woman. People were like raving about this thing. The thing I found out most interesting in the Tiger King is that woman that got her arm shoot off and went back to work the next day. You got people out there that are taking 6 months off because they got carpal tunnel. This woman got her limb eaten off by a tiger, and next thing you know, she's feeding lions the next day. That was the most unbelievable thing I saw in that documentary.
Chicago Tough.
Yeah.
That was Chicago Tough right there, right?
It's so good. The great Sebastian Maniscalco joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I humored Waddle by cutting my kid's hair, Sebastian.
Oh,
and
boy.
Knowing your dad, and, you know, he's a well-known hairdresser in the northern suburbs here in Chicago. I took out the clippers. I completely butchered it. It entertained me, though, for a night. Are you pro cutting your own kid's hair, or do you let it all grow out?
Well, my wife actually cut our son's hair yesterday and gave him a beautiful cut. My wife hasn't done hair at all, but he came out of there looking like James Dean. So I was really proud of what my wife did with the shears. My dad is a little disappointed that I didn't take the lead on that. But coming from a hair family, I've never touched a shear in my life, which is quite embarrassing. And my father, I think, is really disappointed in my hair cutting skills. But here's a guy who's 74 years old, still cutting hair. 3 weeks ago, he was book solid, and I had to tell him, would you go sit down? I mean, there's a full-blown pandemic out there, and you're doing dye jobs. This guy wasn't going to stop working.
Yeah. So what is he doing? Are you Zooming your dad at all?
No, yeah, we're FaceTiming every day. He's climbing up the walls. I mean, there's only so many walks this man could take. He's confined to his house, and he's bored out of his mind. I mean, this guy hasn't taken a day off since he had quadruple bypass surgery, and even then he wanted to do hair in the hospital.
Wow. So tell us about the whole experience with the Irishman. Sylvie was saying that when you came into studio and were so gracious to spend some time with us, you kind of gave us a little bit of a hint what you had participated in, and then I think you were at the awards event. How was the entire experience for you?
It was unbelievable. I mean, from shooting the movie, working with Scorsese, the first day I was, the scene was with De Niro and Pesci at the Copacabana. So I was really nervous to act with those guys. I mean, I've done really small parts, and next thing you know, I'm working with arguably two of the best actors of our generation. And then what was the most fun for me, though, was during the premieres and going out to all the parties. De Niro, I wasn't really talking with on set. It was like one of those things. I didn't speak unless spoken to, but I got to know Al Pacino during the kind of promotion of everything. And he's a really solid dude. I thought he was really funny. And we kind of, you know, I actually invited him over to a barbecue. I'm like, I can't believe I was talking to my wife. I go, should we invite Al? I mean, like, I'm going to invite Al Pacino over to my house for a barbecue. So I did. I texted him. I said, listen, we're having a little barbecue if you want to stop over. He's like, yeah, I really appreciate that. I can't come, but thanks for thinking of me. And I'm like, I got a text back from the Godfather.
That's awesome.
It's cool to be on a texting relationship, I'm sure. Or did it end there? Couldn't you even call it a relationship?
I don't think it's much of a relationship, to be honest with you. You know, the next barbecue I have, he's definitely going to get an invite. But I think until you go out to dinner with somebody or hang with them socially in a out of a work experience, then we could establish some type of relationship. But yeah, it was great. I went to the Oscars. Obviously, The Irishman didn't pick up any awards, which, I was just happy to be there. But I like the movie thing, but stand up is my bread and butter, and not doing stand up for the last, 4 weeks now, it's like my therapy. You know, that's kind of what I do to like calm down. When I don't do stand up, I get like impatient and edgy, and I need to get back up on stage. And people are like, oh, why don't you do comedy from your living room? Yeah, listen, comedy is like you need the laughter to validate what you're saying is funny. It's like, it's not like music where you can sit down and play the piano and do a concert from your living room. You need an audience. So I'm not going to be sitting there in my kitchen doing jokes for people online.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, baseball is now talking about, hopefully at some point, whether it's the end of May or in June or July, playing like other sports, maybe in front of empty stadiums. What can you do that as a comedian? Can you?
No, there's. I mean, you really can't. I mean, it's an energy exchange between the audience and the comedian. It's almost like a dance, you know. And once you don't have that other partner, it's really difficult to kind of do the tango. So, for me and other comedians, it's difficult now that you say that they're going to do that, because I was banking on baseball to kind of start it. Because I feel like if sports starts back up, everybody else is going to follow suit. I think entertainment's going to be the last one to hop on board in regards to people coming out to see live entertainment. So I was hoping baseball would get up and running so, you know, life could get back to somewhat normal. But I guess, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what the future has in store in regards for live entertainment, but something better happen quick before I jump out the window over.
Yeah, yeah. Sebastian Maniscalco joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So the 20-year-old you or the 16-year-old you, whatever age you were, when you're walking through McGreevy's in the Northern Burbs. I love that part of your show, by the way. You're walking through McGreevy's and some guy comes up to you and says, look, you're going to be hanging out with Pesci at the Oscars. You're going to be with in this movie, or you're going to be in front of 20,000 people in your hometown selling out the United Center. Which would have been more surreal to you at that moment?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think the being in the movie with the Scorsese's, the De Niro's, Pesci's, and Al Pacino's of the world. I mean, comedy for me was always, I'm not going to lie to you. I had big dreams when I came out here in 1998 from the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And my goal was to do stand-up comedy. I didn't plan on doing the United Center, but I just knew that I wanted to succeed at stand-up comedy. The whole acting thing, I never planned that happening. I thought if I was at McGreevy's with my cranberry juice and on the dance floor, and he came up to me and told me I was going to be in a movie with Robert De Niro, I would have left.
What is it like at the United Center? Because I was at that show, you killed it. Is it harder to have comedy pay off there, or is it just as easy because you're getting the reaction of the crowd?
Well, generally speaking, arena shows are not, they're not as intimate as a theater, obviously, or a comedy club. But that night at the United Center, I just felt so connected with that audience. That was the night I believe there was a problem with one of the pyrotechnics kept going off on stage and I kept referring to it. It felt like one of those nights that everything was really, really on point, and the United Center felt almost like a 300 person comedy club. But when you're doing arenas like that and in the round, generally speaking, you kind of lose some of the nuances of stand-up comedy. But I thought that night for me was really, and a little secret here, I went out the night before with all my buddies and my cousins, and we went to, I think it was Tao Nightclub, after we went out to Chicago Cut, and everybody was hungover the next day. And I'm like, how the hell am I going to perform? I was drinking Pedialyte 2 hours before the show to hydrate myself. And of course, my dad came in the dressing
room. That was your flu game.
That was my flu game. You're right. That's funny.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's all good. Just getting through the pandemic, and hopefully I'll get back out on stage sooner.
What's on your schedule for 2021? Like, is there something big out there that you're looking forward to? And obviously we want everything to get back to normal sooner rather than later, but are there some big projects ahead?
Everything was really on hold. I was supposed to do a movie playing Giorgio Moroder, the father of disco, who discovered Donna Summer in May, in a movie called Spinning Gold. So I don't know when the hell that's going to get back up and running. My plans for 2021 might be my plans for 2020. All the shows might be moved to 2021 if this thing doesn't get back up and running. I also have a movie that I'm doing loosely based on my life that we were supposed to shoot this summer. Looks like that's going to be pushed up to 2021. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the future has in store. I'm just trying to do some, you know, goofy videos here at the house to keep people entertained and doing interviews like this just to kind of connect with people. I haven't left the house. I mean, a lot of people go to the grocery store or go to Target, whatnot. I'm the guy who's such a neurotic when it comes to this. Like, I'm very careful. And, you know, I'm the guy that's probably going to get this thing. You know, people are sneezing in each other's faces and they're not getting it. I'm going to get it opening up my gas bill.
Before we let you go, a couple of things. What can you say about our buddy Pat McGann? He did a great job opening the UC for you.
The guy's unbelievable. I mean, this guy, as far as I see a lot of comedians, especially on Netflix, and this guy has the goods. I produced a special that he is going to have out shortly here, and he's funny. Every time I leave a show, I get tweets, who is the opener? Who is this guy? Where is he from? Pat McGann's been under the radar way too long, and I think a lot of people are going to get introduced to his comedy very, very shortly here. He's been a great, not only a great comedian, but a great guy off stage. He's one of these guys just keep to himself. He's very funny. He's just a great guy. Got a great family, and wait till people see this special. He killed it.
And then I always like to ask you about this. For those who have not seen any of your specials like we have, it's on Netflix, it's on Amazon Prime, while we're all social distancing. What do you tell people to get to know you? Do you start at the beginning, or do you start with your latest stuff and work backwards?
I like the people to watch them kind of in succession. You could see the growth. You know, the first one I did was Sebastian Live, which is not even on any platform. It's only on a DVD. If you start with that one and kind of go in order, you could see it's almost like a story of my life. You know, like my comedy parallels the life I'm living. And if you watch them in order, you'll definitely kind of see the story there. So, yeah, it's very physical. It's very observational, very family oriented. There's one special I did with heavy Italian stuff, growing up Italian, but a lot of my stuff is just observational humor.
Well, you're the best. I can't tell you how much enjoyment we've all gotten watching you grow and all your specials and seeing you live. All the best to your family. Stay sane, and hope to talk to you when everything's back to normal.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
You got it. I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me in the quarantine. And hopefully next time I'm back in Chicago, I'll pop in the studio.
You got awesome. It. Thanks, Sebastian.
Thanks, Sebastian.
There you go. There's a guy who doesn't forget where he came from.
No, he's great.
Again, they call him the social distancing OG. So check him out on Netflix and Amazon Prime.
And by the way, as we mentioned last week, you can see Pat McGann's stuff on Twitter.
He's great.
At-home pop-up comedy, you know, sets with his kids screaming in the background. It's hilarious.
Chicago guy as well, yeah. All right, we've got Waddle's World coming up in 10 minutes. We've got a lot of other fun things. Jay Cutler may call the show at 4. So much to do, all of it coming up soon.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Great stuff with Sebastian Maniscalco. A lot of
love
sports out there as well. Yeah, really good. I mean, it was a good point that you brought up, too, about, like, with these sports getting back sooner, that's probably going to happen before comedy shows happen, because comedy shows depend on crowds.
Well, yeah, and I'm no virologist, epidemiologist, doctor, any of that stuff. I'm a few credits shy of all of those different degrees. Something tells me that being outside for a baseball game or a football game has to be, at the very least, a minimally safer period at some point. Now, again, I'm not suggesting there are going to be fans anywhere. But when you're talking about inside things like theaters and you know, places where he would perform, and even like hockey games or basketball games, I just wonder where the discrepancy or the difference would be between those two situations and the difference in the level of security or health concern. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, sure, sure. There's a fun sports story out there. I don't know if anyone really considers it fun. I find it fun because we all go through our fantasy draft and have to deal with computers with that. And I'm not saying that's what the real draft is like, but it's more like it now because they all have to do it at home like we do it remotely. It's not as much like back in the day where we would all gather in someone's basement. Most people do their drafts remotely, and a lot of the NFL general managers and personnel people are not happy with a lot of this for many reasons. First, they wanted it delayed. They've been wanting extra rounds. And then what's the latest from Adam Schefter, Abdallah?
So Adam Schefter tweeted about 25 minutes ago that a concern has emerged in recent days. There are certain coaches and front office staffers reluctant to have their IT employees in their homes for fear of the virus spreading and vice versa. Some IT employees are concerned about going into other homes to equip them for the draft.
You know what? I get it. I really do. But I think Dan Wiederer, I just read his tweet to you guys off the air. This is how Dan responded, and I read his tweet because I agree with him. He says, okay, at this point, some of this NFL draft hyperventilation has really jumped the shark. Everybody take some deep breaths, get a nice firm grip, and don't let the IT guys sneeze in your face. Now, look, I get why some people would bristle at that comment. I support that comment. You're going to the grocery store to pick up groceries, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you're buying toilet paper, right, guys? Sylvie has been working at the station. Meller's working at the station. Abdallah's working at the station. You guys have to stop at gas stations and fill up your cars. You wash your hands. You take all the precautions that are necessary. There's no guarantee that you're not going to be able to. You can't 100% protect yourself. I think that there are precautions that can be taken that can alleviate a vast majority of some of that concern. Now, again, that just may be me being an idiot, a dumbass, not taking the health risk into concern, you know, seriously enough. But I would think there would be a way to circumvent some of this.
I mean, it's concern. To your point, it's not ideal, Waddle. But again, people, grocery store workers right now are in stores, you know, every day being exposed to people day in and day out. So you have Amazon drivers, delivery people,
correct,
who are dropping stuff off at people's houses every single day. Yes, it's not ideal, but also, like, I mean, if you're an IT guy who's working for an NFL team, suck it up. You have to go over to the GM's house and set up his draft software.
Besides setting it up, I don't understand how it's much different than what's been going on. Now, you're not in a war room with all these people, but you have phones or some sort of a way that you could connect with people. And isn't it the way it would work is the general managers who are making the pick are in a room. And don't they phone the pick in to somebody who's in at the location of the draft that represent, like the Bears have an employee who usually sits in Nashville or in Philly or here in Chicago,
right,
at the draft site. Ryan Pace calls that guy and tells him, we're picking Mitch. And
can you
turn
in
the car.
Do that to us again, please? Can you use a different example?
Okay, well, we're taking Leonard Floyd.
Can you not use that example either?
We're selecting Kevin White.
All right, I'm done. Good night, everybody.
But then that person then has to hand a card, I think, to like the NFL, and that's how the NFL gets it. I mean, this is, I don't understand how much extra work this really is.
I'm with you, Sylvie. I think, look, I'm not.
I so want one of the GMs to draft a guy who's already been taken. I need that to happen.
I want to talk more about this when we have more time, too, because I've heard some people say that it's going to be harder to get hits in the sixth and seventh rounds, sixth and seventh rounds, because you haven't had a chance to really meet all these later
look
round
at their tape?
Guys.
You haven't had a chance to look
tape,
at their
right.
tape?
Right, right.
Really?
Right. But you haven't been able to see them and go to their pro day and discover them more because they fly under the radar.
Okay,
and guess what the Bears have the bulk of?
Okay, but the point to that is you have the same access that everyone else has, so you're on a level playing field. Nobody has had the ability, unless you're Skyping guys or you're Zoom teleconferencing guys and talking to them, you are in the same situation as the other 31 teams. So now you're going to have to trust your ability to identify talent and how it applies to what you're trying to do. And now maybe more than ever, if and when the season does begin, the development process maybe even more important at this point, especially later in the draft, than the identifying process.
Okay, let's talk more about that later. Cuddy is supposed to call the show a little bit later, and we've got Waddle's World up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
Oh, that's right. John Waddle's World is brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. I think the story of the day was the interview that Tom Brady did with Howard Stern. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yes. Absolutely.
One of the stories.
I've only, it was 2 hours and 19 minutes, and I only heard about 25 minutes today. Yeah.
That's to me, I've never heard of an interview that was that long.
They had some technical difficulties. They were on Zoom to start, and then they had difficulties with Brady's connection, so he had to call back on a phone. But, you know, they just shoot the you-know-what, and he was good, and it was very sportsy early, very sportsy. I heard this stuff when he talked about how he almost left Michigan to go to Cal. And how he kept thinking he was getting jobbed there,
right?
So even that stuff was good. And then they talked about like seeing Gronk naked and showering with other men. And
I heard Carmen and the Good Kid talking about the Gronk naked. Gronk used to like to walk with a towel in the locker room, but it was around his neck and not around his waist.
That's the move, isn't it?
Well, I think it's the move for some and not the move for others. To be honest,
I think Scottie Pippen used to do that back
in
the day. Yeah, as Kerr.
Yeah.
But
I think there was two bits. Meller's got tape from both of them.
Good. And let's hear it then.
One was referencing Bill Belichick, right, Jeff?
Yeah, this is on his relationship with Bill Belichick that we have here.
I know genuinely how he feels about me. Now, I'm not going to respond to every rumor or assumption that's made other than what his responsibility as coach is to try to get the best player for the team, not only in the short term, but in the long term as well. So what I could control was trying to be the best I could be in both of those situations also. I got into uncharted territory. So I got to a point where I was old. I was an older athlete, and he started to plan for the future.
And that's the end of it?
That was the portion we have on Belichick.
And listen, I thought that was symptomatic of Tom Brady saying really there was no resentment towards Bill. I also believe there was a part where he told Howard that he kind of knew prior to the start of last season that was going to be his last season in New England.
I think he said he did know, didn't he?
I thought he said he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did know.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that he did know that the 2019 season would be his last prior to the season even kicking off. And then there was some conversation about needing to take care of his marriage, right, Meller? Isn't there another longer bite that describes that?
This one's longer, and it's, like you said, it opens up about his marriage with Giselle.
You know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to like check myself. Because she's like, I have goals and dreams, too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need, you know, I got to take care of things in my family because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage. So
yeah,
I needed
huge.
To make a change in that. Well, her point was, well, yeah, of course this works for you. Like, it all works for you.
Right.
But it doesn't work for me. Because you can get caught up in your life where you think a relationship is great because it only works for you. and the point of a relationship. It has to work for both. But a lot of, you know, you better work on both, because if you don't, then ultimately it's not sustainable.
When she first said that to you, Tom, when she first said that to you, were you like resentful and couldn't really hear what she was saying? Did you go to like a family therapist to hear what she's saying? Because, you know, guys are the worst to hear. Did you? So. Yeah, we went to a marriage therapist.
She actually wrote me a letter, and it was a very thought out letter that, you know, she wrote it to me, and I still have it. And, you know, I keep it in a drawer and I read it. You know, and it's a very heartfelt letter for her to say, this is where I'm at in our marriage.
Yeah, I don't think pissing off Giselle's a good idea, guys. Do you? I mean, for a number of reasons. One, including she probably makes more money than he does every year, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Other things.
That's why, like, no one would have predicted that could have come out of the interview today. You know what I mean? That's why Howard's the best interviewer there is.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, like, I've never heard Tom Brady go there.
Right.
Ever.
Right. You wouldn't expect it. And we finally got Brady and Howard on our show.
That's great.
But that's what happens, too, when you get a guy who's willing to commit to be there for 2+ hours. And all of a sudden, you know, initially it always starts out like the first 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. You know, a guy's got his guard up. But then, you know, that's like, to Sylvie's point, Howard Stern's so good at just being like, hey, just two guys having a conversation. And at a certain point, you let your guard down, and then you let, you know, someone into the actual, hey, Tom Brady is a human. Like, even though he's got it good, he's got his own issues, too, in his own marriage. Yeah. And it was interesting to hear that part of it.
They had some Zoom video issues to start with, didn't they? Did I hear that correct?
Yeah. So this is at the end of it, too. Another reason why Brady's so good is he's loved Howard forever. The end of it, when they were saying goodbye, like Tom Brady said, and they don't know each other. I think they've met once. But he said that, you know, I've listened to you for years driving into practice. And Josh McDaniels would always say to him and Brian Hoyer, hey, did you hear what Howard said today? So it's like Howard's got the reputation where he's so famous that Tom Brady is like happy to be on his show and is at the end of the interview kissing up to Howard, thanking him for all the years of entertainment for him.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Elsewhere in the NFL, Matt Rhule, who is the new coach for the Carolina Panthers, discussed the Cam Newton release and said that Teddy Bridgewater was a better fit for the Panthers. He praised Newton in his first public comment since the former MVP's release last month, but said that Bridgewater is the right fit for us. So that's the route that they went, said that parting ways with Newton was not an easy call, but one we thought was the best best one moving forward. Jameis Winston says, kudos to me for getting replaced by Tom Brady. Winston was asked about the Bucs signing Brady and what his future looks like as a free agent.
Right there.
Quote, one thing about Tom Brady is it's understood that he is the GOAT, Winston said. For you to get replaced by Tom Brady in a city you love so much, I guess that's kudos to me.
And kudos to you guys for taking over for Mike and Mike when they left.
Right. Remember that? When we were the show in between the show.
Or is that kudos to Mike and Mike? For you guys taking over.
Well, we didn't take over.
For like a day.
It was
for a
like
2 days.
Yeah.
Well, what do they say? They always say you don't want to be the ones that replace the legend. You want to be the one that replaces the person that replaced the legends.
Right, and Wingo was able to just replace Waddle and Sylvie.
Well, you guys did it for Colin, too, didn't you?
So kudos to you guys. Yeah, we're Colin.
You guys are like the,
we're the plumbers.
In,
we just come in and unclog your toilets, and then we leave smelling like poop.
That's the thing. It's like, hey, for all those people who are mad that Colin left, here's how bad it could get. So when we do hire his replacement, like it. It's kind of
so you guys are the Bulls front office of
it's kind of like saying, hey, we could have Colangelo and we could have Ferry. So you better get on the Karnisovas train.
By the way, I love plumbers. It came off wrong. My guy Dominic is the best plumber out.
Plumbers are so important.
They're fantastic. Listen. My house would not function without. Do you realize how important good plumbing is in my house? I have a house filled with five ladies. Love them all dearly. But God knows what's flushed down those toilets. I'm just telling you guys. Like, every one of my toilets gurgles there's a problem at all times. And I'm constantly waiting to have to dial up Dominic to come over to the house to get that thing that it rods out all of the nastiness that's in the bowels of my plumbing. In fact, 2 years ago, prior to my Halloween party.
You talking about good snaking?
Yeah, the good snaking. Prior to the Halloween party, we had an enormous issue where my guy had to come over, and we were outside. Like, this was panic. You know, the Halloween party that Sylvie came dressed as, like, something. To this day, I don't even know what it was.
Was it like a cheerleader?
Yeah, whatever.
A male cheerleader with.
But that party almost didn't happen because of a plumbing issue,
right,
that we had based on things that had been crammed into our system for so long. So, tip of the cap to the plumbers out there. Drew Brees says that Americans need sports right now. And he talks about the NFC South being more difficult. And did you see this? The NFC South is the land of new uniforms. The Falcons have decided to unveil new unis as well.
How many teams have it? It's Tampa.
Well,
it's
most
Atlanta.
Recently, yeah.
Does Carolina have new uniforms?
I don't think so. Not yet, but maybe they will be inspired.
I feel like NFL teams are just bored right now, and they're doing things to grab headlines. Like, we're changing our uniform.
I have two stories about nakedness, and of course, it's Wednesday. That means Florida or Ohio coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Before we get to the nakedness and then Florida or Ohio, a couple of sports-a-roo stories for you. Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant again defy local stay-at-home restrictions. Quarterback Dak Prescott, free agent receiver Dez Bryant continue to disregard important restrictions to out-of-home activities as communities throughout the world try to limit the potential spread of the virus. In videos posted by Bryant on social media, the franchise tagged quarterback and the pass catcher who very much would like to return continue to flaunt their defiance of rules that have caused millions to change their habits. I guess they were out throwing passes, correct? They were working out together. I'm sure, Meller, you saw this. And although there's no evidence in the latest social media post of a failure to keep proper distance and no photos of participants with their arms draped around each other at the end of the workout, but what they are doing is Dez Bryant is on the receiving end of some Dak Prescott throws, right?
Is that what we're reading? Yes.
I got to be honest with you, and I'm fine if everybody wants to get mad at me. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I don't. Wash your hands. Stay safe. Don't get in the huddle. Don't hug each other.
The problem is, though, like when you're throwing the ball back and forth, that's why people are having an issue with it. Whether you want to.
I got it. But I would take the football. I'd spray it with Lysol. I'd let it dry. And then I'd.
Between every throw?
Yeah.
Well, wait a second.
If there's no
hands are washed,
but if their hands are washed and the ball has been cleansed, why do I need to wash it in between throws?
Well, because of the way the droplets, if you're breathing, can go onto the ball.
Well,
that's
then,
the concern.
Then you wear, don't wear gloves.
Where you're defeating the point of
gloves.
Social
wear
distancing.
Gloves.
Wear
sticky gloves. Sticky gloves.
Not if someone's breathing in the vicinity. That's why we're practicing social distancing and trying to keep more than six feet away.
Look, yeah, but
I'm not getting mad about it, but I think. The people
how close are you and Abdallah right now?
We're probably 8 feet apart.
Yeah, okay. 8 feet.
6 feet, 8 feet, 6.5 feet, 7 inches.
We
probably
do,
pass
we
each other.
We try to wash stuff down, but we do sit on a lot of the same chairs.
Of course.
Wipe down the chairs.
We do
that. Yeah. I mean, but.
By the way, did you guys go to the grocery store to pick up much-needed groceries at all at any point?
Yes. Okay. It's not a perfect system. No one's saying it's.
This
you
isn't
know.
A me against you item either.
You've
Mel,
been making it a me against you all
like it,
yeah, no. for days now.
I just like to witness it.
Mets simulation broadcast throws shade at the Astros. I did not see this. During a time with no baseball games, even team broadcasters are looking for some ways to fill the gap in normalcy that comes with the postponement of the season. Tuesday night, Mets broadcast booth of Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and Ron Darling called a video game matchup between the Mets and the Astros, and they were dropping sign sealing scandal jokes, huh? I guess that's low-hanging fruit. The Houston Astros, I mean, that story's been forgotten for obvious reasons. There's bigger fish to fry, for lack of a better term, right? Or do you think if we get back to, I mean, because there will be no booing if they do play baseball because there will be no fans.
Right.
So will there be, do you project, if let's just say, we'll use the Meller model and not my model, that they're playing July 28th, okay? Do you believe that people will still be hitting Astros players, pitchers be hitting Astros bats.
No, I think that after you go through a pandemic, it sort of lessens.
A little perspective?
Yes.
Did you guys see Matthew McConaughey hosting virtual bingo? That's
no, did funny. He?
Yeah. Good dude. Okay, naked. Naked man arrested on suspicion of indecent exposure in Lincoln. Is this Lincoln, Nebraska, Adam? A naked man strolling around Lincoln in the area of 84th Street and Old Cheney Road was arrested Monday on suspicion of indecent exposure.
It was Fred Hoiberg saying, I don't know. I don't know that I'm sick.
I think that the pandemic has brought out the nakedness in people as well. I don't
you
know
think
why.
There's more nakedness in the pandemic?
I do. Nudist warned by police to cover up their mouths for coronavirus. Sun's out, buns out, but cover that face. Coronavirus cases soar past 4,700 in the Czech Republic. The Eastern European nation's nude sunbathers are being targeted by authorities for neglecting to cover up their mouths. I'm still watching Game of Thrones, and we are getting through it quickly. I believe we've gotten through season 5. We're on season 6.
It's amazing how quickly you're going. I just can't do it that fast.
Boy, is there some nudity in that show.
Oh, really? Even more than what I've seen in season 1?
It just doesn't stop.
It's good. It's good naked, too, in Game of Thrones. I mean, it's not politically correct.
To each their own. I would not say that it's all good nakedness. Not for me. But I'm not judging. I'm just saying there's a lot of nakedness. There are some uncomfortable moments, especially with your 16-year-old sitting there. But she's usually watching her phone, so anyway.
She's seen it already, didn't she? Or was that Angela
you mean Game of Thrones, not
Games
like seen everything
no,
at 16?
No.
Bite your tongue.
Stop it.
My God.
Hasn't she watched Game of Thrones already?
No, my 22-year-old has.
Okay.
And she serves
it's
as...
Leah who did then.
Leah has, she actually serves for our guide, so she'll watch it with us and fill in any blanks that need to be filled in, or she gives us, she answers our questions. So, like, at the end of the show, you can watch that 5-minute presentation from the producers, or we just sit around and lob questions at our daughter who's already seen the series. Kind of keep it in the family.
Right.
Want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Can I interject this before we get to, I think when we come back, we have to remind people about our talent contest at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Don't you say that's a good idea?
That does sound like a great idea.
Okay, Adam, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Great idea. Okay. Hashtag WNS talent.
Yeah. Okay.
Florida Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars and SUVs at fieldsautogroup.com. Woman assaults man with SpaghettiOs. SpaghettiOs.
What? I loved SpaghettiOs as a kid.
Got an 8-game win streak, guys.
A woman is facing felony domestic battery charges after allegedly clobbering a man with a can of SpaghettiOs, a blow that left the victim with a large laceration on his head, police say. According to the arrest affidavit, the victim told police he was arriving home on Saturday afternoon, and he got into a verbal agreement with his lady friend.
Argument? Verbal agreement?
Verbal argument. Whatever. Okay. With his lady friend. I got him up against the clock here, guys.
I think this is a head fake, Sylvie. I think he's thinking we're going to say Ohio, but we eat the SpaghettiOs at Ohio. We don't use them as a weapon. I'm going
to. I need to hear more.
The man began the argument and sought to de-escalate the situation by gathering some of his things and staying in another location for the evening. That's when a woman grabbed a 15.6-ounce metal can of SpaghettiOs that was in a plastic bag and hurled it in his direction. That's
Tampa.
It. The woman was arrested. The arrest affidavit does not indicate whether the SpaghettiOs were booked into evidence.
It was Giselle because Tom had not spent enough off-season time with her.
Boy, this is tough. My gut instinct is it's like outside a Walmart in Jacksonville.
I think SpaghettiOs are bigger in Ohio, so I'm going to go with Ohio.
Fort Pierce, Florida.
Yeah! 9 in a row! 9 in a row!
We'll play this game in 2 minutes. Will Jay Cutler be on the phone line or will he not be on the phone line? Take a guess. We'll find out in 2 minutes.